Will Italy's bombastic billionaire return to power?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The European Union predicted this morning that its economy will be in recession longer than first thought, but that it will return to growth by the end of this year. Of course, the fragile European economy could easily change directions if Europe's volatile politics get in the way. Which brings us to Italy, where an election this weekend could return a familiar figure to power. From the Marketplace European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
He may have been ousted from office, prosecuted for fraud, corruption, and having sex with an underage prostitute, but he's back.
Cari amiche, cari amici. In pochi giorni abbiamo compiuto.
Silvio Berlusconi is seeking re-election, and perhaps even more surprising, he could win high office again.
It's still unlikely, but it's not impossible anymore.
Analyst Vincenzo Scarpetta says Berlusconi has staged a remarkable political comeback.
He has been able to gain ground in the opinion polls.
Thanks largely to his popular anti-austerity campaign.
Now he's saying, I will reduce taxes, I will stop austerity, because that's what Italian voters want to hear.
There is acute austerity fatigue. Franco Pavoncello of John Cabot University in Rome says Italians want growth, for good reason.
The GDP has been going down, it's negative, unemployment is growing constantly, shops are closing left and right. Well, you know, I mean, the country is on its knees.
But if Berlusconi won the election, Italy's plight might worsen, claims James Walston of the American University in Rome. His victory could well say to Italy's investors and creditors that the country isn't serious about reform.
It would put the frighteners on the markets and all the European institutions, and would cause major problems for Italy and the European Union.
If Italy abandons austerity and reform, markets may drive up its borrowing costs again. The eurozone debt crisis, now dormant, could be rudely reawakened.
So, in that sense, these elections are crucial, not just for Italy.
Victory for a coalition of pro-reform parties seems more likely than a Berlusconi win, but markets won't relax until the results are in. At the European Desk in London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, now to China, where the official news agency is reporting that the government is going to tax carbon emissions. The BBC's John Sudworth joins us from Shanghai with the details. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so what do we know about this idea so far?
Well, the details that have been published so far are a little limited, but it appears that this is a serious move to introduce a carbon tax. It's been published by the Ministry of Finance. In the first instance, this will be a carbon tax set at a pretty low level, suggestions of something less than $2 a ton, but it will be ratcheted up so that by 2020, if this plan goes ahead, China will be levying a tax of around $20 a ton of carbon produced.
Now, if this sort of thing were to be proposed in the United States, I'm sure there would be a lot of people in the business community who would be against it. There would be a lot of environmentalists who would be for it. What are the sort of forces at play in China on this issue?
Well, it's China's obviously a different kettle of fish entirely in terms of the opinion of constituencies. If the government decides to do something, it will do it regardless. That's pretty much the way things work. And I think, as mentioned, this is really a reflection of the fact that it knows now that pollution is such a political issue. A few weeks ago, the air pollution in Beijing was so bad, visibility was measured in the tens of meters.
Yeah.
China is suffering from a really serious water pollution problem. And it looks like this is going to be pushed through because China needs to be seen to be doing something in terms of its own public. It's a problem that it simply can't hide. It may be that businesses don't like it, but ultimately I think the costs of this will be passed on by exporters. This will be a tax that will hit the big factories, the big exporting sectors, and probably in the end the price increase will simply be passed down the line. So at the end of the day, it could be American consumers who end up paying this tax by default.
The BBC's John Sudworth in Shanghai, thanks so much.
It's a pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading this morning, 0.6% higher in Tokyo, 0.7% higher right now in London, and more than 1% higher in Frankfurt and Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 46 points to close at 13,880.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
Boeing reps are meeting with officials from the Federal Aviation Administration today to hash out when those grounded 787 Dreamliners could get back in the air. As Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports, every day those planes are on the ground is a costly day for Boeing.
You know how, like, when somebody hits your car and their insurance has to pay for your rental while your car gets fixed? That's kind of what Boeing has to do right now. It's delivered 50 Dreamliner 787s to airlines who can't use them.
The airlines themselves are losing significant amounts of money. You know, they've got pilots that are, you know, rather well paid, and they're sitting on the ground not earning any revenue.
That's Bob Herbst. He's with AirlineFinancials.com. He says entire routes like Tokyo to San Jose aren't going into service because they depended on the fuel-efficient planes.
There's no doubt that this is going to go well into the hundreds of millions of dollars before it's all said and done.
Richard Abulafia is an aviation analyst at Teal Group. He says the final bill all depends on how long the planes stay on the ground.
This is not a threat to their existence, but on the other hand, it could get painful.
Extra painful, he says, is that the money Boeing pays to airlines might get used to lease planes from its competitor Airbus. I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
And finally, a baseball game between Cuba and South Korea had to be canceled because the two teams couldn't decide which ball to use. According to a Korean official, the two teams practiced for a while using their own baseballs until the Koreans asked the Cubans to leave. Quote, it was so awkward. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.